This is what everybody's been waiting for.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All right, let's count it down. 20, 19, 16, 17, 9, 12, 10, 4, 14. Happy New Year! 7, 6, 8, 11, 11, 18, 5, 3, 2, 20. Happy New Year. People have started to leave town square, but don't go anywhere. A lot more for you. Thank you for spending New Year's with us. And I hope you have a healthy and happy New Year from the bottom of my heart. And now, look who's back.
And now,
they came to party and they weren't disappointed.
Our feature presentation.
Too soon?
What?
Not at all.
Too soon?
I think.
A little
hey, party
bit?
People. What's going on? What? You can't make a tribute to a broadcasting legend, Lisa?
You could maybe, I don't know, pick some drops from earlier in his life.
Oh, that's all I had at my fingertips. I wasn't going to put that much work into it, but yeah.
Morning, great, Dick Clark, as we'll always remember him.
Unfortunately, that is true.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Thursday morning.
What's happening, people?
Hey, you know. Bean.
We should get our little friend Carson Daly to run down today. He's worked a lot with Dick Clark. Friends with him.
Oh, that's true.
Got a lot of stories. So that might be interesting to hear a perspective from somebody.
I don't know. I don't know. Your tribute was quite moving.
Well,
right. Pretty much all we need, I would guess.
I don't know. I was a big fan of Dick Clark. We actually had him on the show back in the day. Remember, Kevin? We went down to his office and interviewed him. And, man, the memorabilia in that guy's office, it was like a museum. Unbelievable. Super nice guy, too.
Yeah. There's a little guys that have their own building, their own office, and then they bring their pets. Just hang out there.
Best.
Dogs are running around.
Yeah.
Yep. That was crazy, the stuff he had and the stories he had to tell. I mean, he knew everybody, you know, worked with everybody. It was amazing. And a huge player in television, obviously, with, you know, all the many, many shows he put on the air and produced and everything. Great
obviously.
Stuff. Obviously. Exactly. Here's a fantastic story to get us started. I love this so much. This has been an ongoing court case for a number of years. But here's a woman. I think this happened in, I want to say, Australia. Here's a woman who's on a business trip. And there's a guy that she's staying in a hotel on a business trip. And there's a guy that she had been dating. And she invited him to the hotel where she was staying on this business trip because he lived apparently fairly near where her conference was.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're doing it. And apparently they're going hard, as it says in the documents from the trial. And a glass light fitting came off the wall above her bed and injured her, hit her, cut her.
Oh.
So she filed a workman's compensation claim. Saying, hey, I was on business. I was staying at this hotel on business, and I'm therefore entitled. Woman in her 30s, working for the government of Australia there. And originally, the court said no. The court said no, that, you know, you were having sex. That wasn't something that was necessary. But, you know, they argued, hey, but it's something that people do. And if I had been injured playing cards in the hotel room, or if I had been injured taking a shower in the hotel room, I think it would have been covered. So this thing wound through the courts and finally went up to an appeals court where they agreed with her and they said, yeah, she's eligible for workman's compensation as a result of the sex.
That's awesome.
Isn't that something?
I just think you'd sue the hotel. As opposed to applying for workman's comp.
Yeah, it doesn't say here whether she did, but it would seem like the hotel would be at least a little bit more directly involved
Workman's
in what happened,
never
right?
would have crossed my mind,
no,
although
not
she is there for work. So,
yeah,
really, regardless of what you're doing in your room at the time, if you are in that hotel because of a job, I could see that.
Yeah, and they argued that, you know, she wasn't doing anything, you know, illegal. She wasn't doing anything that had been prohibited. It wasn't like she was told, you know, that she wasn't allowed to have anybody in there. So as far as she was concerned, it was just the normal, you know, business.
Cost of doing business.
Cost of doing business. Exactly, yeah. So anyway, interesting story. Took a long time, like I said. You know, she had to go all the way up through appeals court and stuff. And who knows who's paying for all this, if it's going to end up costing her more than whatever she's going to get as a result.
How injured was she?
Yeah, it doesn't say, as usual, not enough details here.
Damn it,
Pete. How many times do you think she had to tell the gory details of everything that happened in that hotel? And then, yes, that's what he did. Yes, I was upside down, sure, but, you know, she had to go through it and explain it to every court. I love it.
Well, I'm going to keep this in mind the next time I have to travel for work, man. I'm going to try to hook some of this up.
Yeah.
Really? You do that, Bean.
It's going to take a great deal of work to get all those circumstances to work out because I got to find someone to have sex with, first of all. Then I've got to figure out a way to get injured. Then I got to figure out a way to make some money off it. It just seems like a lot of work, but I'm going to try it.
Yeah, and then this company would never pay you.
That's true.
Crazy.
They'd do it if the court ruled in my favor.
Yeah, well, that's true. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
No, that's not true.
It is true. We have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Yeah.
We do.
We have to ask him about the tube down your nose diet.
He's just going to be pulling out all his hair.
He is, yeah.
Over that.
Yeah, he's not going to be happy.
Yeah.
We have a brand new internet viral song to tell you about, and it'll be stuck in your head forever, and you'll love it.
Damn it.
It's really terrible.
It's terrible. It's something. And it's part of a brand new internet roundup as well. We got that today. We have comedian Paul F. Tompkins in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mensa members. What's that all about?
What is that all about? I don't know anything about it.
Bean wouldn't take my word for it yesterday when I was trying to tell him about the meetings and the pins and stuff and the different levels of things that you can get. But
you don't like to brag, so I don't feel like I'm getting the full story about what it's like being in Mensa, but I'm curious to know. I would imagine it's just the type of thing that it's not worth even telling anybody if you're in it. Because I think people just have this perception that you must be, you know, boring or no fun or something like that just because you're smart. And I don't think it necessarily would have anything to do with that.
I think most of those people would be boring and no fun.
See, that's my point.
Well, wait, let me finish. Except to other Mensa members.
See, I think that's the opposite of true. I think I think there'd be just as many partiers as there would be people who are boring. I think it'd be a totally random average cross section.
No, because it would be self-selecting because there's a lot of people who can join Mensa. A lot of people choose not to. Those are the cool people.
Plus, if you're that smart all the way through school, you don't have friends, you don't have social skills. Come on now.
That's why you join Mensa.
Let's be realistic.
To make friends.
That's true. Other people that are as smart as you. Find yourself talking to me. We got nothing in common.
Well, I'm eager to see if anyone will call, if we have any Mensa members listening, and what their experiences have been.
Also on the program today, we have the light heavyweight champion of the world, John Bones Jones.
Wow.
Talking about UFC 145.
Cool.
Where he's fighting, is it Rashad Evans?
Yeah.
I think so. So we're going to talk to him today. I'm very excited about that. And we have your tickets for Coachella today as well. So keep listening for your chance to win those. Coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Somebody
that I used to know.
Somebody.
Hey, guys.
That I used to
know. I think Gaudier and Kimbra maybe have that part covered.
Or maybe Ralph and Kevin have that part covered.
We're going on
we'll
the
road. We'll be at Coachella this weekend.
That's
come out and see us.
Sahara Tent. Oh, wait, that's a dance tent.
I'm not sure we're ready for remakes of that song yet.
All right, just my hologram will be there this weekend.
5:51. Ralph Garman has stepped in for our first look at the showbiz.
Goodbye, Dick. We hardly knew you. Dick Clark. Legend of television. Staple. On New Year's Eve, passed away yesterday morning at 82 years old. After a heart attack, apparently he was having a simple outpatient procedure. Something went horribly wrong, and he passed away at the age of 82.
Oh, I thought maybe there was a lot going on we didn't know about that was expected.
No, this was unexpected, but it was a massive heart attack and took his life. Of course, he was suffering from a stroke, and he had in 2004, so he was not in great health, but...
Right.
This was a surprise.
They haven't confirmed it yet, but it is thought that he was in the hospital for cataract surgery. So completely unrelated. And then next thing you know, boom.
Richard Wagstaff Clark.
Is not the name of anyone.
Is his name.
Really?
Oh. He's a dick.
I see.
Richard Wagstaff Clark.
His
middle name
is
Wagstaff. He's a dick to us, sure.
Wagstaff?
But his middle name was Wagstaff. I didn't know that. He, of course, was a legend in my hometown, Philadelphia, where I grew up, because he was a DJ there with WFIL back in the 50s, and then he started a little local TV dance show called American Bandstand.
Oh, that started in Philly only?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
It was a little local show. ABC. It was on the local ABC affiliate there in Philadelphia. They picked it up. took it national, and ba-boom. There you go, the next thing.
30 years he's on the air every day doing the band.
He's a phenomenon. And then, of course, Ryan Seacrest took over duties on the New Year's Eve show with him. Ryan will want Ryan's crushed. As he went around screaming, going, "Woohoo! New Year's Eve is mine now!
It's all mine."
Yeah. You know.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's really good to be back with you again this year.
Yeah. I'm going to miss that. Should we have one last countdown for Dick?
Oh, we just did, Neil, about a half hour ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had all Dick.
I wasn't here. What happened?
A half hour ago, it was all Dick.
It was all Dick?
Yeah.
Really? I'm glad I wasn't here. Sounds uncomfortable.
I'm glad I was.
I'm sure you do. Did you guys get your invitations to this weekend's wedding?
Obviously.
Carrie Mulligan and Marcus Mumford from Mumford & Sons?
That was not invited.
What?
No.
They're getting married this weekend in the English countryside.
Very nice.
I hope she's hyphenating the name. I hope she's going to be Carrie Mulligan Mumford.
That sounds like a bad career choice on her part. Like any blushing bride, she's reportedly very excited, can hardly contain her love for her man Marcus. So, I wish them all the best. I hope they have a nice wedding. I should have got them all a gift. Just a little something. Just a little something. Thank you. Thank you so much. A phony Justin Bieber's in trouble.
Who wants to be a phony Justin Bieber?
This creepy dude, 34-year-old Lee Moore of Toronto, posed as Justin Bieber on the internet on Facebook. He's been arrested for threatening and sexually abusing a 12-year-old little girl on a video chat site.
Wow. Mm.
He threatened to harm the girl's family if she didn't do certain sexual things for him online. The girl began to realize she wasn't talking to the real Justin Bieber when the video chat began. Yeah, he's 34!
Yeah, no kidding.
And doesn't look like Justin Bieber. He was nabbed when a Canadian officer pretended to be a 14-year-old girl online. And this creep asked to meet the girl. Well, he met the police officer instead.
Police officer said, yeah, let's meet.
Next thing you know, so your name is Bean. Is that what I understand? Next thing you know, there was our man Chris hiding in the bushes. You're free to go. Don't tase me, dude. Dennis Rodman's broke.
That's not a surprise.
He made a lot of money in his day.
He did, but he spent it like a crazy man.
His lawyers claim he's too sick and broke to pay the $800,000 he owes in back child support.
Oh, my God.
Ouch.
It's almost $1 million in back child support.
How many kids, Ralph?
Doesn't say here.
All?
Yeah.
That's a lot of child support.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering. Does he have 30 kids?
Or did he just wait a really long time without paying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. The woman in the lawsuit wants to know why he treated 10 friends to a fancy dinner in Delray Beach, Florida last week, if he's broke and can't afford the...
That's a good question.
The back child support stuff. So he's going to be answering some questions in court this week.
Did you see the little part-time money-making opportunity job he picked up in New York this past week?
No.
He is coaching, get this, a topless women's basketball league.
All right.
He's one of the coaches in that
I want
league.
To.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Layup City, I could do that.
That's right.
That's a thing. Yeah. That's a thing that exists.
And Lindsay Lohan was the only Lohan in Coachella this past weekend. Her brother, Michael Jr., was causing some trouble. Hotel management at the Hyatt Grand Champions Resort popped by his room at 3 a.m. on Friday morning because apparently he was making too much noise. Then they went to go back. They had to go back a short while later due to complaints of smoke billowing out of his room. No words of what kind of smoke it was.
Wow.
But if it was near Kevin's room, I have a guess of what kind of...
Dare
you.
And Rihanna was in Coachella last weekend as well. Insiders say that she spent a fortune on booze for backstage for her and her crew. And she's got a new boyfriend that apparently she met there.
At Coachella?
Yeah.
Oh.
A rapper named ASAP. A-S-A-P.
He's big on the mixtape circuit.
And he spells his name with a dollar sign, like Kesha does.
Sure.
So he should be put down, right?
Really?
Yeah. ASAP with a dollar sign instead of an S.
Come on.
She tweeted, "It was one of the best nights of my life meeting him." Well, that means ASAP got a little...
Yeah.
little peace app. You know what I'm saying?
Sort of.
No, I don't. Explain it to me, would you? Today's celebrity birthday is Tim Curry, one of my favorites. Great British actor. Best known, I guess, still today for playing Dr. Frank N. Furter from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. He's 66 years old today. Suge Knight is 47. Ashley Judd celebrates her 44th birthday. TV personality and chopper legend Jesse James is 43. Actor James Franco turns 34 years old. Kate Hudson is 33. He didn't ruin the Star Wars sequels, but he didn't help them. Hayden Christensen celebrates his 31st birthday today. And Maria Sharapova is 25 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hi, I'm John Jones of the UFC. The kid is extremely talented. He can kick and punch from any direction.
Oh, my goodness! Big elbows from Johnny Bones Jones!
When was the last time we saw Matt Hamill get tossed around in a fight? Probably only by John Jones. I mean, he's really that good.
And now Jones looks for the takedown by John Jones.
I'm definitely becoming more confident, and I believe in myself. You have to believe in yourself to fight one of the toughest men in the world. That's just how it goes.
This kid's on just another level. Look what he did to Shogun. Look what he did to Machida. Those are two guys who are dominant over a lot of dudes. And John Jones just ran through them.
It is all over!
It's all happening again Saturday night, April 21st, 7 o'clock on pay-per-view, Jones versus Evans. That's going to be UFC 145, and John Bones Jones joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, man, how are you?
Doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
Very good. Thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. The week of. What's your week of a fight like?
You know, it just consists of a lot of, you know, mental training, a lot of sports psychology work, and, you know, self-reassurance, just, you know, making sure that my confidence is sky high. I think that's a big part of competing, especially in a sport like fighting. And then the weight losing. You know, right now I weigh 215 and I got to get down to 205 by Saturday. So just trying to preserve my energy and also, you know, make this time productive.
But you cut way back on the physical training.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Speaking of the mental training, Bones, I was watching some of the coverage from earlier in the week in Atlanta, and I saw the stare down. Do the stare downs, are they at all real anymore? Is there actual animosity fighter to fighter, or do both guys step up there and look at each other, and they know that they're really just doing it for a photo op?
Well, the press conference that you saw, the pre-fight press conference stare down, you know, different fighters have different approaches to them. Some people, you know, get their emotions really tied up, and some people think they can see fear in their opponent's eyes and everything like that. So it varies between fighters. But I will say Friday, after we step on the scale and we weigh in with our shirts off and we do the stare down with our shirts off, that one's a little more real because for the first time you see your opponent with no shirt on, you see what type of physical shape he's in, and all the fans are screaming, and it almost feels like a fight before the fight.
Do you try to get a psychological edge of any kind when you stare him down, or just look for weakness? Or
you know, a lot of times I walk up real close to my opponent, and then I stare away from him and not look him in his eyes, and it kind of messes with a lot of them. I can tell
they want to look in your eyes. Yeah,
it sounds kind of romantic, which is weird, but...
Did you say romantic? I love that. I'm going to start using that with the ladies. That sounds like a cool approach. Now, we have a lot of UFC fighters on the show here, on the Kevin and Bean Show, and oftentimes, the fighters who are fighting each other barely know each other. That's the opposite of what's going on with you and Rashad. I mean, you guys have a long history together. How's that going to play out? I mean, is that going to even be a factor at all Saturday night?
You know, me and Rashad definitely trained together. We had the same coaches and nutritionists and strength coaches, yeah, same teammates. I think it'll be a little different, fighting someone you've trained with. You know, every fight starts off with this little feeling out process where you're trying to figure out what he's trying to do to you and what's this guy's intentions. And we and Rashad, we kind of know each other, so I think the feeling out process is going to be a lot faster. I think we might get out there and just start swinging at each other right away.
But as far as fighting somebody that you know, is it easier or harder than somebody that you don't know?
You know, it's harder because, I mean, we were friends. So you know, even though we've trained together, I've never ever tried to actually kick him in his face or
anything
that could seriously hurt him. So it might be awkward at first.
You're not much of a trash talker. Is that on purpose?
You know, it's just the person that I am. You know, I think a part of the sport is about being a man of integrity and being a martial artist. And throughout martial arts history, it's been about, you know, respect and honor and discipline.
Are you surprised at 24 years old to already be the light heavyweight champ in UFC? I mean, I imagine you have already exceeded whatever expectations you had when you began, right?
Yeah, man. It's just a total blessing, man. And it's a testament to hard work and dedication and patience and persistence. And yeah, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful.
Do people get, not mad at you, but frustrated by the fact that you haven't been fighting your whole life? You actually started training, what, 5-6 years ago?
5 years ago, yeah.
5 years ago. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think that's safe to say. You know, I was talking to my manager, and, you know, I was like, why do you think I have so many haters out there? And he said to me, he's like, well, John, you know, you've done things that people's trained their whole life for and hasn't done, and you've beaten a lot of people's favorite fighters.
Yeah.
I think people are maybe having a hard time relating to you because, you know, you seem to be very successful in it. And it seems to be coming so easily to you, but
it's funny too.
Try to get across is that it's not easy at all. People don't see the nights and that I study and the hours and hours that I train. And, you know, I train 5 times every day. I just don't think that's common for any athlete in any sport.
You train 5 times a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I nap 5 times a day. That's why he's in the Octagon Saturday night in Atlanta, and you're watching at home on pay-per-view, Kevin. That's the difference right there.
I have one more question. I know you got to go, but I saw something yesterday on the internet about you getting talking to different companies about a shoe deal. A, is that happening? And B, how do you get a shoe deal in a sport where you don't wear shoes?
Yeah, you know, it's been a goal of mine for many years to be sponsored by Nike. You know, I have it on my vision board at home, and I just really want that for myself. My brother has a Nike deal, and I've just always wanted one. And, you know, there's lots of marketing opportunities that we could do with a Nike endorsement, like we could do apparel deals, or maybe wear, like, you know, their compression gear, or just make viral videos of training and all types of stuff. So shoes is definitely a big part of our sport.
John Bones Jones, another one of those guys who's making the rest of us look bad because he does it all. UFC 145 versus Sugar Evans. That's going to be Saturday night on pay-per-view at 7 from Atlanta, Georgia. Good luck to you, Bones. Thanks for the time, man.
Ciao, guys.
Ralph Garber joins us for the Showbiz Beat. Kevin, can I tell him what happened? Can I tell him what happened?
Yeah, your incorrect version of the story. Yeah, go ahead.
So I says to Kevin, Ralph, and you'll love this based on the conversation we've been having in the office all week. So I says to Kevin, Kevin,
right.
When you got home yesterday, how did it go when you called to ask about jury duty today?
Right.
Nothing. Longest pause you've ever heard. Remember the conversation we had before you left?
Right.
Forgot to call to find out about jury duty today.
No way.
No, because it was for tomorrow.
It's for today, right. And you said, what am I supposed to do? We said, well, look at the paperwork. For starters,
you just call. I have to go in.
Yeah, right. I got an envelope. I looked at it. So I guess yesterday you were supposed to go home and call and find out if you were supposed to show up somewhere today for jury duty. And you didn't call.
That was next week.
It's next week.
It was next week.
It's next week.
Right. So it's today, right. You... There.
Can I tell another story then?
No.
Please. Well, one of the reasons you couldn't go to Coachella. One of the big reasons why you couldn't go to Coachella this weekend. I knew you wanted to go. You were debating whether to go out, but one thing really sealed the deal for you why you couldn't go to Coachella this weekend. Tell everybody what that was.
My kid's birthday.
Right.
Party.
You're having a birthday party for your kid this weekend, so obviously you couldn't go to Coachella.
Right. And they were hounding me all weekend. You got to come next weekend. And I was like, I want to come next weekend, but I can't because this is my kid's birthday. I can't do it.
Right.
So we're having a party at the Galaxy game. So I walk up to somebody last night at the Kings game, and that is involved with the Galaxy, and I say, hey, we're having a party on Saturday. And he says, not unless you're having it in Colorado. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, they're away this weekend. It's a week from Saturday.
Not this Saturday, but following.
So, no party this weekend.
Yeah, so you'll be home this weekend.
How do you live? Like literally, how do you get dressed, find your keys, get in the car, and find your way to work every day?
Just like that.
Every day is a surprise.
That story is painfully true every day of my life.
Nice work, Kevin.
You're right. Thank you. Yeah.
All right, it's a miracle
enough
he's still alive.
Storytelling. Let's get to the showbiz.
I'm just saying.
Dick Clark is dead at the age of 82 years old. He was known as America's oldest teenager. They say that because he was at the forefront, very accepting of all new music, and he'd be right out there selling it no matter what it was. He was there bringing it to people via American Bandstand, and then, of course, he became a media mogul, started producing game shows and reality shows, and the guy was... he was an icon, but he was also one of the most successful men in show business, who went from being a radio DJ to owning a media empire.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Seacrest wants to be him.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Seacrest is him.
He's on his way.
I think Ryan killed him.
I think so, too. Took him out. It can be only one. It's like the Highlander.
That's correct.
Lopped his head off with that sword.
It is time.
Maybe that was Ted Nugent. Speaking of Ted Nugent... We talked to him a little bit earlier today. That was a scary phone call.
It was a bit, yeah.
You know who else is scary? Mel Gibson. This story keeps getting better and better. Joe Esterhaus, the writer, was brought in by Mel Gibson to write the screenplay for The Maccabees, this movie that Mel Gibson was developing about the second century Jewish hero. Regardless of the story about the movie, Esterhaus released a letter saying Mel Gibson was crazy, and I went to his house in Costa Rica, and he's a lunatic, and that's why they're not making the movie. And Gibson said, no, it's because your script wasn't any good. So anyway, Joe Esterhaus yesterday releases on therap.com, you can go for yourself to listen to it, audio that he secretly recorded of Mel in his vacation home in Costa Rica.
Interesting.
Mel invites him and his wife down for dinner and to talk about the script, and in this open letter that Esterhaus wrote, he recounts this incident where Mel lost his mind, started screaming obscenities about his ex-girlfriend, Oksana.
Oh, my God.
And starts threatening people and screaming and stamping on the house and slamming things and screaming at the top of his lungs. And so to back up that account of that story, he has released the audio now.
Ah.
And he recorded it outside of the States.
Surreptitiously recorded in Mel Gibson's home in Costa Rica.
So it's probably not illegal.
I don't know about that. Mel Gibson's people are certainly looking into whether they have a lawsuit or
right.
not, as it was announced today. But I brought you just a little taste of Mel Gibson losing his mind. The audio quality is not great, so this is the best chunk we could listen to. This is apparently the housekeeper, whatever, while Mel is screaming and cursing about the script and about his ex-girlfriend, the housekeeper says that dinner is ready for Mel and his house guests.
Who wants to eat? Who the f*** wants to eat? Go have something to eat! Hooray!
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he goes on at that level of rage and volume for about 4 minutes in the course of this audio that you listen to.
Wow!
He's just peaking at 11 the entire time. It's not like one outburst. Everything he says is like that. He's a madman.
Why is he so angry?
I don't know. I can't imagine. But he curses about the script. He curses about his ex-girlfriend, Oksana Grigorieva.
And now he's got this current girlfriend, Lucky Girl.
Yeah. He's screaming at the top of his lungs about everything in the course of this 3 or 4 minutes of audio tape. So.
That's provocative. Yeah. Okay.
So as crazy as Joe Esterhaus may be, he might be right about this story that he wrote about Gibson. So. Interesting stuff. TheRap.com is where you want to go. And also, I think TMZ.com's got the story as well. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Tim Curry, 66 years old. Suge Knight turns 47. Ashley Judd celebrates her 44th birthday. Don't call her Puffy, by the way.
She doesn't like that at all.
She only goes by Diddy. She gets a chapped ass about that. Jesse James is 43. James Franco is 34. She only goes by Diddy, being said.
Yeah, I heard. See, because he used to go by Puffy also. You don't get it.
Oh, I get it. Oh, sadly, I get it. James Franco's 34. Kate Hudson's 33. Hayden Christensen, the actor who played Darth Vader in the early years, is 31. Maria Sharapova celebrates her 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Yes, we have your tickets for Coachella at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Sold out passes for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and access to the K-Rock Coachella house. By the way, they had almost 85,000 people at Coachella this past weekend, Kevin. An all-time record. Wow. Insane, right?
And it's going to be the same this weekend.
And it's going to be the same this weekend.
Only it's supposed to be way hotter this weekend.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's right.
That's going to make a difference.
Dress accordingly.
I am very excited about our next guest. We're going to get to Mr. Bruce Smith from the Los Angeles Mensa here in a moment. And the reason Mensa came up, look, I know what you're thinking. Kevin and Bean, why are you guys talking about Mensa? I've heard your show.
Well, I'd like every once in a while, I'd like to highlight my personal life.
Nope. That's not what's going on here. What happened is we were doing a story about this young girl in, when I say young, I mean she's like four, and she's in England, and she has just been admitted to the Mensa chapter there. She has an IQ, they say, of 159. Now, I don't know how you can measure the IQ of a kid that's small because they, you know, haven't been to school yet. I don't even know how the testing works. But they say she's just below Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking, and she's already in Mensa.
The pressure.
And I guess they measure potential. That must be all they can do, is that this person has the kind of brain that could do great things. I don't know. So I was curious because I don't know anything about the Mensa. I'm certainly not smart enough to be in it, but I thought, let's find out more about this organization, what it is they do, and how popular they are, and how prevalent they are, and how many people are in it, and good stuff like that. And Bruce Smith joins us from the Los Angeles Mensa. How are you, Mr. Smith? Thanks for coming on.
Very good. Thank you.
Do a lot of people have a misconception about what Mensa members are all about?
I'm not sure. Probably.
Because when we were talking about this off the air yesterday, Kevin, you were saying you thought the Mensa people would probably be pretty boring, right? Like they wouldn't be, they wouldn't be the type of people who would listen to and enjoy a show like ours, you were saying, right?
Well, yeah. I wouldn't think there's a lot of Mensa members that are wasting their time with our little pee-pee and poo-poo jokes.
And what I said, Bruce, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, is I think you're going to find people of all different kinds of personalities. You're going to find goofballs. You're going to find people who, you know, do nothing with their lives, as well as find the people who are the overachievers that we may be expecting.
Absolutely right. We're a social organization, a very diverse community, interests ranging from happy hours, gaming, outdoor events, or even political discussions.
But would you say that your membership includes goofballs?
Oh, yes. we're a cross-section of America in some ways.
But do you mean goofballs in the terms of like just weirdos, or do you mean fun people?
Good question.
Yeah,
good
I know question. What you mean, Kevin.
Because maybe you think weirdo or strange or eccentric when you hear that word. I think silly.
Yes, we're human.
Nope, I don't think that's true.
Bruce, tell us a little bit about how Mensa works. I mean, is it a test that you take if you want to be a member? Is that what you do?
Yes, actually we have monthly testing, and the website would direct you to that. The sole requirement for admission is to be to score in the top 2 percentile of a standardized intelligence test.
And what kinds of things are in a test like that? Because as you know, there's lots of different kinds of smart people.
Yes. When we administer, I think it's actually two tests. Stanford-Binet is one. I'm not sure what the other one is. But any professional psychologist, I believe, can administer an IQ test.
Okay.
And that's how I think some of the children get in. Their parents have them tested and then choose to enroll them.
Is it true the four-year-old is not the youngest person in Mensa, that there's an actual two-year-old in there?
That was what I was told by one of our members, yes. The youngest was 2 year-olds, and I believe the oldest was 107.
That doesn't make for a fun party.
No! The two-year-old, the 107-year-old, what are they going to talk about?
If you're a member of Mensa, are there clubs, are there meetings, are there benefits?
Quite a few monthly events. Ranging from beer on a boat is a fairly popular one. We have a monthly business meeting, which is members only. All the rest are open to the public. Happy hours, political discussions. We've recently started our urban hike again, just to get a little exercise.
Huh, how about that? Now, I notice as of March 2011, this information that our producer sent out to us, Bruce, says that there are fewer than 2,000 Los Angeles Mensa members. For the population in Southern California, that seems extremely low to me.
Yes, there's a lot more people that are qualified that haven't bothered to join.
And why do you suppose that is?
You don't throw good parties.
That's a very good question. They have busy lives is one reason. We are an all-volunteer organization. It is primarily social. So if people have too busy a life, then they might not be interested in joining.
And what's the primary reason?
Certainly busy.
Yeah, what's the primary reason people do join? Is it because they want to hang out with people that they think they'll have something in common with?
That would probably be an excellent guess. I don't know for sure. One of the slogans we talk about is, we get your jokes.
That's funny.
I can imagine somebody in Mensa talking to me for 30 seconds and going, I need to join a group.
I need to get away from talking to civilians. Bruce, how are the chicks in Mensa?
Wonderful.
I don't think that's what he's asking.
Are there some hotties?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
But fantastic. Hottie by smart girl standards.
Not necessarily. Like I say, we are a cross-section of America, and you draw your own conclusions about the percentage of hotties in the United States out of 300 million citizens.
Yeah. Well, according to the data, general membership is 66% male of Mensa. This is nationwide, I guess, 33% female. So it's maybe not a great place to meet women. But I was surprised to see the percentage of young people. 31% are Gen Xers between the age of 27 and 48. So I think there's a good possibility that we have Mensa members listening to the Kevin and Bean show right now. What do you think, Bruce? You think we're likely to get some to call in?
I couldn't say about calling in, but it's possible, sure.
Can they not dial?
No, they're busy.
Oh, they're busy.
All right, so we're going to ask you to call if you are a Mensa member. We want to hear from you. And Kevin doesn't think we're going to get anybody, but I'm convinced that we've got at least a couple of people this smart in this organization who are listening to us right now. We want to find out what your lives are like. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. And Bruce, what's the website if people want to get more information about the Los Angeles Mensa?
I have it.
I had it right here in front of me.
Oh, not so smart, are you, Bruce?
It looks like Kevin's smarter than you are now, huh?
I have the paperwork.
The big thing is there's a big difference between intelligence and wisdom.
Ah, www.glaam.us.mensa.org.
Well, it would be smarter to get an easier domain name, I'll tell you that. All right, Bruce Smith, thank you so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today. We enjoyed talking to you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Right now, though, we're talking to Kevin and Bean listeners who are also Mensa members. Kevin, you did not think we'd necessarily have anybody calling when we asked for this, right?
I think people are calling. I doubt they're in Mensa.
So, let's meet a couple of them real fast. We'll start with Chad. Chad is on line 3, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We just had Bruce Smith on, who's the representative for the Los Angeles Mensa Membership Society. And I don't know anything about it, but let's find out what these people are like. Hi, Chad. Welcome to the show, man. Hello, Chad.
Yes.
Here we go again.
Chad, are you there?
Hello?
Oh, there you go.
Fantastic.
All right.
Chad, how long have you been in Mensa, man?
Let's see, 20 years?
20 years? When did you join?
Well, I joined when I was, like, about 10 years old.
Me too.
Why are you in Mensa? What's the benefit for you for being in this organization?
Nothing really. I don't go to any meetings. I don't go to any meetups. I did a couple when I was maybe 10 or 11. My dad took me, and I was 10 or 11, so it wasn't that much fun for
me. So what are you
going to
do? Yeah.
Right, exactly. So do you stay a member just because it's something that's a conversation starter? You're able, you know, maybe you meet a girl, you think it might impress her if you're a Mensa member or what?
Yeah, just so you can say you're in Mensa.
No, not really. No, it doesn't really impress anyone. Maybe at work, but no, not really out there on the dating scene.
What's your IQ? Do you know, Chad?
They tested me at about 147.
And how has that played out in your life?
I not average, I guess. I'm nothing really that special. I manage housekeepers at a hospital.
Huh. Interesting. So it hasn't been an extraordinary benefit to you to test so well.
Not really.
Or to be in Mensa, for that matter.
No.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
Brains didn't equal motivation in this case.
Okay. All right.
That's a good point. Brains don't equal motivation.
Yeah,
thank you very much for the call.
That's the case a lot.
Let's try Fred. Fred is interesting. I think he's on line 2, and he joins us with his Mensa experience. Let's try to get this phone working. Fred, hi. Hello, Fred.
Try again. Fred, hi.
Oh, wait. Hey, yeah.
There you are.
Static for a second.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry about that. Whatever you guys are doing second, do that first.
Can't.
Fred, tell me about being in Mensa, dude.
I joined about 4 years ago, and I went to some of the Gen X drink nights. I swear to God, it was the biggest bunch of freaks and losers.
That's what I thought!
It's not like where you'd think it would be Ivy League graduates who are doctors and lawyers. It was all people who never accomplished anything with their lives, took the test to validate their own intelligence. and I thought it was like in a circus sideshow freak show.
Really? So these people were accomplishing less than people that they would consider of normal intelligence.
Yes. Yeah.
What do you think that's – what's going on there? Why is that? Why are they not reaching their potential if they're so smart?
Well, you know, smart is relative. I mean, I grew up around Ivy League graduates, and, you know, just because you're smart doesn't mean that you have social skills or have charm or have grace.
Bean.
Yeah, exactly, like Bean. Yeah. But,
so
yeah,
not a big fan of the group, not a big fan of going to Mensa organization.
At least people who are active in the group. There might be wonderful people who don't go, who,
right,
you know, are too cool to go. But
right.
And there were a lot of rabid George W. Bush supporters.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Really?
I wonder why that is.
How would a Mensa member look at George W. Bush and go, that's my guy? I mean, really?
That's what freaked me out.
That's bizarre.
Well, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, Fred. Lisa, you were saying the people you want to know are the people who are smart enough to be in Mensa but don't bother with the organization because they've got other things going on, right?
Because they've got real lives. Because I know that being super, super smart is just one of very many qualities you need to be successful in life.
Let's take one more. Let's talk to Susanna. Let's find out from the female perspective. She is on line one. And I was saying earlier that I think, and I think our guest from Mensa, Bruce, I think he said the same thing, which is you're going to find all different kinds of people just because they're in Mensa. I mean, that's just one quality that unites them, but they could be wildly different in every other way. Hi, Susanna. What's your experience been in Mensa? How long have you been in, first of all?
There she is.
Susanna.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
How long have you been in Mensa?
3 years.
3 years.
How come you joined?
I joined to put it on my resume.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. Do you feel like that helped with any job interviews?
I think what people normally do is they're reading through my resume while they're talking to me, and then they go, ooh, smart girl. You know, and that's about it. I don't think that it necessarily gets me jobs, but it is sort of a conversation piece, I guess.
Ooh, smart guy. That's something I've never heard. not one time in my life.
Do you happen to know what your IQ is, Susanna?
I think it was 139. I took the test when I was about 8, I think.
Okay. And does that help you day to day in your life, having an IQ that's so far above the normal of about 100?
Well, sure, I guess. I mean, I think that if you're intelligent, maybe you think quicker. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just that I think I heard Fred. I think it's all relative, too.
Why would you listen to our program?
Ooh, good question, Kevin.
I think maybe because I have older brothers and they're juvenile too, so.
You're certainly having to go somewhere else for your intellectual stimulation, though, right?
Well, I mean, I think you get lots of intellectual stimulation. Sometimes you just need humor, you know?
All right.
Okay, all right. We're gonna leave it there. We're just going to accept that we can't be all things to all people. We're not taking care of the smart part, but thanks a lot for listening, and thanks for calling, Susan.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, the home for Mensa members.
Apparently so.
7:39.
We scour the internet all day long, all week long, all month long, so that you don't have to. And then we put it all together in one tidy little package that we call the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to KevinandBean.com or KRock.com, and you can see all of these videos. The first one is the Tupac hologram. I'm sure you've seen that from Coachella, they changed the audio a bit.
Man, I find myself always on Instagram. I'm Tupac, and Hunger Games is number one at the box office this weekend,
Hunger Games is number one.
And he does nothing but make sure that you know that this is 2012.
Yep.
He only talks about things from the last 2 weeks. It's very well done. And by the way, speaking of the Coachella thing, speaking of the hologram from Tupac, that wasn't pre-existing footage. I read a very in-depth interview with the people who made that. They created that. That wasn't...
What do you mean it wasn't pre-existing?
Concert footage. Yes, they created that in a lab.
Really? Tupac.
Yes. Isn't that insane?
Well, I was really surprised by that because I'll tell you why. They did, and not to get off on a tangent, but they did California Love just before the Tupac thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he sings the second verse of that.
Yes.
So as soon as they started California Love, I was like, this is it. This is when they're going to do the hologram. And they didn't do it then.
And apparently they could have if they wanted to, because they could make him say or do anything they wanted.
Is that how they made him say, "What's up, Coachella?" Because he died before the Coachella Festival began.
Still have no idea who did that voice, but man, it matched, and it sounded exactly like him.
Yeah, they must have hired someone.
I think so. All right, the next video that we have, Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup, you know Lana Del Rey. It's the video. It's her. Mm-hmm. She's hot. Mm-hmm. They've replaced her voice, though, with a duck. Pretty funny to see this coming out of her mouth.
Lana Del Duck.
Lana Del Duck. Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Here is a straight-A honor student blonde. This is a girl who's telling us how to solve the problem of it being too hot. And you might want to think about this. Maybe when you go out to Coachella this weekend, it's supposed to be pretty hot. So this is her suggestion as she's sitting in a car and she's sweating.
They should invent air conditioning outside. Like, have big air conditioners sitting on the highway and stuff. And just blow it on people.
Air conditioner outside.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Do you think
I've thought about this before. I mean, not like humongous. Well, yeah, they have to be pretty big.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this as I'm going.
I think it's a great idea. Global warming is a problem. If you just put giant air conditioners at every intersection, it would cool us all down. Why not?
Well, yes, I guess it'd have to be pretty big. Face to face with Weird Al Yankovic. This is where
I love this so much.
I know you do, because you love Weird Al. This is where he's interviewing celebrities. Uma Thurman, this particular one, is Nicolas Cage.
I've heard that you've got a Weird Al tattoo.
Well, there's a couple. Are you talking about the one in the...
Right, the lower back, your Weird Al tramp stamp.
You're not going to see it right now.
Oh, come on. Will you show it to me if I give you a Twinkie wiener sandwich?
I'm not sure what that is, but I don't like the sound of it.
Al takes interviews that celebrities do in these, you know, when they go to the hotel and they do that interview with a million people. And he takes those interviews and edits his own questions in. He's been doing it for years and years and years in the concert season. And now he's doing these videos where he just does a ton of them. And they're so funny. He does a really great job.
And you never see them together. That's how you know.
Right.
It's a one shot on the celebrity. You know, they're using, answers from other questions. In Chicago, apparently, the Cubs and White Sox are, this is one of those things where either you're a Cub fan or you're a White Sox fan. And if you're one or the other, you hate the other side.
Right.
This is Nick Offerman and Craig Robinson. And they're pretty much just smack-talking each other. And one of them's a Cubs fan, one of them's a White Sox fan.
The only cleaning up your cleanup hitters know about involves cleaning supplies.
Is that your team ERA or your shoe size?
Your infield has more holes than a Swiss cheese donut.
The last Cubs to throw a no-hitter was your pitching machine.
You know, I've heard that for the White Sox, DH stands for don't have talent.
Have talent is one word.
Yes, it is.
Nick Offerman, of course, from Parks and Recreation. Craig Robinson from The Office. Very funny stuff. It's kind of reminiscent of the, you know, the Yankees Red Sox ads that John Krasinski does with Alec Baldwin. Good stuff.
Child celebrities opposing Kirk Cameron. Kirk Cameron, of course, was a child celebrity. He's grown up now and he's become super religious and he's very anti-gay.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the group, Child Celebrities Opposing Kirk Cameron, is CCOKC. So when you say it, it sounds like something else, so we had to beep it because of your tender ears.
I'm a proud member of
We are child celebrities opposing Kirk Cameron.
Kirk claimed that homosexuality is detrimental and ultimately destructive to the foundations of civilization.
As young actors, we grew up around gay people. They were our wardrobe stylists, our hairstylists, our... I'm sure they did other things, too, but mainly they were stylists.
And everybody in this ad is a former child star, you know, from Mr. Belvedere or Hogan's Family or Step by Step, and they're all reunited, you know, basically reuniting for this ad against Kirk Cameron. It's pretty funny.
I got to tell you, the Ultimate News Freudian Slip Supercut is the best thing I've ever seen.
It's amazing.
This is newscasters, and it's about 5 minutes long, clip after clip after clip of newscasters with Freudian slips. For example, they were interviewing the cast of, what's the name of the show? I watch it. Come on, Matt Bowman is the star. Ralph knows. I can't remember. I'm sorry. Anyway, they have them in, and they say on the tape, they say what show it is. And his name is Matt Bomer.
Oh.
But that's not how they... introduce him. White collar's the name.
White collar, yeah.
That's not how they introduce Matt Bomer.
Aaron, again, congratulations on your big Hooters. Hooters win.
You said what?
Wow, that was a slip of the tongue.
Northwest began serving peanuts this month. Georgia is the top peanut producing state.
Twice. Matt Bomer, Tiffany Thiessen, and Tim Decay are the stars of White Collar. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. That would be Matt Bomer. Yeah.
He wanted to clarify that right up front. That would be Bomer. Jimmy Kimmel Live this week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This week in Unnecessary Censorship.
It's always better to have a in your mouth than a on your shoulder.
Lindsay Lohan is adamant she didn't anyone inside a nightclub.
Thank you very much. Wonderful. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Maybe he's out in the backyard sucking and staring at the sun.
Not a big fan of the you know.
So, of course, none of those were curse words. But Jimmy beeps them to make it sound like they're cursed.
They sound terrible.
And finally, we're going to have to go into this one a little bit more in depth a little bit later in the show. But Hot Problems, I don't know if you've seen this or not. Hot Problems, Ralph found this. Double Take is the name of the group. It's two girls. They might be 15.
Right.
Yeah, about that.
They're just like us, Kevin, except they're hot.
They're just like us, but they're hot. And they put together a song and a video that explains the problem.
Hot girls, we have problems too. We're just like you, except we're hot, 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 hot. The world needs to open their eyes and realize we're not perfect. Sometimes we lie.
Yeah. They're just like us, but they're hot.
Yeah. They can't sing, though.
No, they can't. Go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
We got a little something for the Mensa members who may be listening to the Kevin and Bean Show today. The very smart and very funny comedian Paul F. Tompkins joins us after the top hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's a good one.
I'd be shocked if he wasn't a Mensa member.
Yeah, really? Me too. Very smart dude. Anyway, he's coming up a terrific actor, too. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
You know, this week is the debut of Paul's new special on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
Also, back-to-back with Patton Oswalt's comedy special.
Right. Fantastic. Saturday night, both of them. Yeah.
That's 2 hours of the funniest people on the planet right there. That's all you need.
Fantastic.
Patton will be here tomorrow.
That's just good stuff right there.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Good work, Comedy Central. We thank you. A grateful America tips its hat to you. If I had a hat, I'd tip it. Usually this showbiz beat is full of hilarity and jocularity, if you will. Hijinks, shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But not this morning.
What happened?
Not this morning. It's just wall-to-wall death. That's all I got for you.
Wow.
Just death.
That's Bean's Corner.
I know, but what am I going to do? It's all the showbiz death that I'm getting this week. First, you got Dick Clark. Dick's dead.
Right.
Which is what Bean's wife says on a nightly basis.
How dare you!
He passed away at the age of 82 yesterday morning. He was in Los Angeles getting a outpatient treatment, some sort of procedure, and things went horribly, horribly wrong, and he had a fatal heart attack.
And I will say, not to spend much time on this, but for the people of the last few years who only know Dick from his New Year's Eve show, the guy was a giant in broadcasting. I mean,
yes.
Responsible for thousands and thousands of hours that he hosted and hours that he just produced over the course of many, many decades. Just
only for about 50 years, though.
You know, right. Yeah, his career only spanned about half a century.
That's about it.
American Bandstand, all the game shows, $25, $50, $100,000 pyramids. Bloopers and Practical Jokes. That was an NBC staple for many years.
And about half the award shows on television, too.
Right.
American Music Awards, Country Music Awards, stuff like that.
Yeah. Guy knew what he was doing. And, he was quite the success story. Of course, he stayed on too long. Stayed on television too long.
Yes. He should have taken himself off the countdown.
But now, now Ryan Seacrest gets to have it all.
Again.
When will Seacrest stop murdering people to get his way in show business?
That's a great question.
When will the body count stop for Seacrest to advance his evil entertainment empire plans? When will we finally put our foot down and say, no more death, Seacrest? Stop killing people to get your way. I'm pretty sure that Seacrest killed Barnabas Collins from Dark Shadows.
Really?
Really.
Jonathan Frid, the actor who originated the role of Barnabas Collins on the cult daytime soap opera Dark Shadows, the first sort of gothic soap opera about vampires of a time. Just, you think, when I say Dark Shadows, you think Twilight.
Okay.
Only with good acting.
For people above 13.
He was 87 years old.
So he couldn't live a few more weeks for the premiere of the new film.
Yeah, he was looking forward to the premiere. He's in it. He's got a cameo in it. The new Johnny Depp version of Dark Shadows, Horizon Theaters on May 4th. He was a huge hit on the soap opera. It was a vampire soap opera, ran from 1966 to 1971.
That's weird.
He played the role of Barnabas Collins, the head vampire of the Collins family. And when it went off the air, he left television and film. Did a movie in the early 70s, then just did stage in his home country of Canada for the rest of his life.
Huh.
Very successfully, but never wanted to do any more. So he will be missed at the age of 87. And also, and this is thank God Bean gave me the heads up on this, or else I never would have known that the guy who played the flute in Men at Work is dead.
No.
Glad Bean gave me that heads up.
No.
You might want this for show business. Greg Hamm, flute player for Men at Work is dead.
The flute player for any band.
Come on, he was the flute player.
Doesn't get the mention.
Without Greg Hamm, we wouldn't have this. Come on.
Well, this is a pretty
bad guy.
This is a pretty important part of the song, I guess.
Without Greg Hamm, we don't have that.
Well, you can play with a sax or any other number of instruments.
Nope. You gotta have the flute.
You don't.
Men at Work flautist Greg Hamm passed away at the age of 58.
58?
Yeah. The police would not confirm any details of the death or if the musician died of suspicious circumstances, but apparently local authorities in Australia want to have a conversation with Ryan Seacrest, they said.
Is that right?
Yeah. Seacrest always wanted to play flute for Men at Work.
I didn't realize that.
Now look what happens.
He wanted to play flute, all right.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Thank you.
That's all the Mensa members who are listening. Tim Curry is 66 years old today. Suge Knight turns 47. Ashley Judd, 44 years old today. TV personality and chopper builder Jesse James celebrates his 43rd birthday. James Franco is 34 years old today. Kate Hudson, 33. Hayden Christensen from Star Wars Episodes 2 and 3 is 31. And Maria Sharapova celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
That is a powerful mustache. Seriously, yeah. Paul F. Tompkins. That's a commitment.
It's a porn stash.
It's, you know, it's all things to all people.
Yeah.
And that's why I grew it, because I feel a responsibility to planet Earth.
It's whatever planet Earth needs at this moment.
I think so.
Right.
In planet Earth's hour of greatest need, it will return.
It does seem like there would be great power and responsibility with facial hair like that. I mean, look, the rest of us are just jealous. I'm going to be honest. We couldn't grow a mustache like that if you gave us all the time in the world. But you got to be a special kind of man to be able to walk through life with that on your face.
To rock it.
That's the perfect phrase, because I do feel like I am walking through life.
Okay, yeah. Good.
That's what I feel like I'm doing.
It's not sauntering.
Look, I'm
sauntering.
We passed this way but once.
Right.
Right? Not to get too heavy, guys, early in the morning.
I think the last is short. That's right, man. You should spend it not shaving is what you should do.
We're all almost dead. I'm sorry.
Last time I saw anything comparable was Brandon Flowers when he was in from The Killers. That was very similar to your look, I think.
He was ahead of the curve. He was one of the first, I think, non-ironic mustache wearers.
Someone who wasn't an Anchorman.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this is not, and I got accused.
I didn't know there were any non-ironic.
I mean, this mustache with all my heart. This is a sincere mustache.
I don't buy it.
What are the ladies in general? And I don't know if you have someone special, Paul. And that's the
I
only
do,
vote that matters.
Special.
You do, okay. What are the ladies
my
in
Lord
general
Jesus
feel,
Christ.
Feel about the mustaches?
You know, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from the ladies. Women have enjoyed it. My wife is a huge fan of it.
Oh, great. Okay,
yeah,
that's all that matters.
That's really yes, exactly. It's if I'm on board with it and my wife is on board with
right.
it, then that means I get to keep it.
Right.
But yeah, it was one of those things where I had a beard, and then I shaved the beard down.
Yeah, good call.
You know, and you know, like you experiment with different configurations as you whittle away your beard, and I'm sure a lot of men can relate to this.
Did you try the goatee?
Well, this is all in front of the mirror. This is all in front of the mirror.
Right.
You know, the old constable. You know, like that kind of thing. And then, of course, the last thing every man does before you completely shave everything away is, what do I look like with a Hitler mustache?
Right. Exactly. Yes. That's right.
And you know it's time to shave that off when you're looking at yourself in the mirror, because it's a powerful image.
It is, yes.
And then the moment you start to think, maybe I'll just go outside. That's when you know it's time to shave it off. Yeah.
My dream, and I don't know if this is, I'm alone in this, but the President Chester Arthur sideburns is what I've always hoped for.
You're
and
alone
I just
in
can't,
this.
I can't grow the hair like that on the, to make the, now, the great sideburns on
is
the face.
Is that the like the big shaggy sideburns?
Yeah, the kind of the mutton chops that go down. I think those are fantastic.
But not connected to any other facial hair, right?
It's no, just
right.
Like the, they're loners
right.
on each
yeah,
side of the
they're loners,
face.
Exactly, yeah. I think that's a great look.
That's wild to think that was a thing. Like, that's how people... Dudes walked around like that.
If Bean yes, could me. Grow that, he would.
I would have it today.
He would.
And I would be like you. It would not be ironic. I would be dead serious about it. I would love it so much.
Would you braid them ever?
No, no, no.
You wouldn't put
Come
in
on,
little,
I'm not a
little beads
I'm not an animal.
Trinkets.
I'm not an animal. I'm a man.
You're a gentleman. Easy, I apologize.
Easy with the man.
Paul F. Tompkins is here because he is maybe just for a moment the busiest man in show business because you have so many things happening, including one. Well, the work's already been done for your Comedy Central special. This is going to air tomorrow night. Now, this is right after your good friend
Saturday
Pat Oswalt
special. Night.
Saturday night. Excuse me. Today's only Thursday. Yeah. Saturday night at 11, and then just before that is your good friend Patton's special at 10. So it's like the one. Two punch of all time for Comedy Central, right?
Yes, it's very, of all time.
That's how they're billing it.
They are folding up the tent yep. after this. After these
we'll never
there.
Top that. Let's just stop broadcasting.
It's going to dip to black after my special.
They
and
might
just
as
the
well
word
sign
thanks
off.
Will come up.
And you are laboring under delusions this time around.
That's right. This is
meaning it's all, you've had a lot of bad jobs. Is that what that means?
I've had a lot of bad jobs. I've had a lot of good jobs. It's more the delusional state that I was in when I've had all these different jobs.
Sweet.
You have to be kind of delusional to get into show business in the first place because otherwise you wouldn't last in it.
Yeah.
Especially stand-up comedy. There's like a period that you go through when you start out and you're not good.
How long was that period for you? Because that seems brutal.
What time is it now?
I mean, it really
he's
does
hoping
seem
to be good by noon.
To be standing up there by yourself and bombing.
Yeah.
Boy, that seems brutal. There's no one else up there to help you or anything.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And there's definitely a thing that I think that the first few times you go on stage, if I were to look back at my first few sets, if somebody had video of that, I'm sure I would be appalled, and I was probably not doing well at all.
Right.
But any sort of response that you get is enough to make you think like, oh yeah, I should still be doing this. Sure, yeah. I should continue doing this. I think that went pretty well. You know,
that's like in Vegas when you drop $500 and then you win a $10 jackpot. You go, yes. All right, I meant
to
be.
At least I didn't leave here a loser.
Was there a night where you went on stage where it went well enough that you became committed to it? Okay, this is it. I'm never quitting now. This is going to be my career.
Oh, the first night. Yeah,
really?
Well, the first night, but no. The first, yeah, exactly, as bad as it was, I thought that was enough. Like I was fortunate that it wasn't just an outright, crickets, completely. But I'm sure that if I looked at it, I would be like, no, two people laughed. that was all I needed. To get in there. It's like, okay, this is the experiment was, can I actually get up in front of strangers and make them laugh? And it's like, I'll take two people. I had a friend of mine who always wanted to do stand-up, and he was very intimidated by it. And so he made this series of deals with himself that it's, okay, first I'll go to the improv and I'll
laugh.
I won't even go inside. I will, go up to the front door. And if I can do that, okay. So then the next was like, I'll go inside and I'll hang out for a bit. And okay, he passed that test. And then by the time
Has he been on stage yet?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's almost there.
And that guy is 79 years old and soon he'll be jumping up on stage.
That's right. But he told himself when he was finally able to bring himself to go on stage, he said, if I get one laugh, I'll go back and I'll do it again.
Wow.
And he actually went, pretty well. He got like a handful of laughs, he's like, oh, okay, this exceeded my wildest expectations. I thought one laugh was going to be a home run. So,
I've always thought a comedy club should use that sweetening that audiences that they use on sitcoms. Yeah, so that you feel kind of good about, hey, I hear laughter.
Exactly.
That's great. And then all the new guys would go there because it's such a great audience.
And then everyone would be a comedian.
Right. And then none of them would succeed.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. It's interesting when you say, hey, if I could go back and look at that footage, I'm sure I'd be horrified. I'm sure it was awful. Are you a guy who still feels that way about material that's in the past? Like 2 years from now, will you watch this Laboring Under Delusion special from this weekend and go, oh, how did I even perform that material that was so awful? Or are you at a point now where everything is at least at a level of quality that you can be proud of it for years down the road?
Yes, I feel that way. I feel that I finally got enough of a handle on it where I can look back at my first album and say, yeah, that stuff is still pretty funny. The problem is, with any kind of artistic endeavor, you could tweak it forever, and there will always be things like I will have lines that occur to me on a bit that I've recorded on an album, and that's just like, well, that's done. It's the definitive record of it is out there,
right.
Literally. And then I think, oh, if only I had. Now I thought of so much of a better punchline for that.
I could have made that really funny.
Yeah. Now, so it's, you got to let it go at some point.
So when this special airs, is this the time that you're going to cut all that material loose and move on? Is that?
I already have. Yes,
it seems
it
like
is,
that's,
yeah, it is. Well, especially with touring, it's like I want to, when I go back to a place, I want to make sure I have a new set. But especially now that this is going to be out there, in various forms, it's like I can't really do that stuff anymore. Well, I mean, I could, but I prefer not to.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Paul F. Tompkins is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Laboring Under Delusions is the show. It airs Comedy Central Saturday night. That same night, Paul is going to be live at the Largo with his good friend David Rees. We can talk about that some when we get back. And
absolutely.
You also have a very special Paul F. Tompkins show coming to the, back at the Largo in May, too, with a million special guests.
A million special guests.
That number is approximate.
There's so many guests on that show, I don't think there's going to be room for an audience.
There's plenty of room. Everybody just take it easy. Calm down.
And more with our guest, Paul F. Tompkins, right after this in the Kevin. Actor, comedian, Paul F. Tompkins in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show today, doing what he calls a brisk round of self-promotion. The new show is called Laboring Under Delusions. It airs on Comedy Central Saturday night at 11 or 8, depending on what your cable system is. And then that same night, you're going to be on stage at the Largo. Are tickets still available for that show with you and David Rees? Do you know, Paul?
There are still a few tickets available to see the book release show, How to Sharpen Pencils.
Now, do we have to bring our own pencils, or are they going to be provided for us?
I'm sorry, the book is How to Sharpen Pencils?
The book is called How to Sharpen Pencils.
Okay.
And it teaches you how to sharpen pencils.
I don't know how to do that.
That isn't a book.
Wow, you think you do.
That's a one-sheeter. That's not a book.
There's things I don't
know. There's things you don't know. David Rees is he's created an industry for himself. He is an artisanal pencil sharpener where he will hand sharpen pencils for you
at a cost
of $15.
Wow!
Yes.
Per pencil?
Isn't he about 200 years too late offering this? I mean, this is like now teaching people how to churn butter, isn't
it? Everything old is new again.
Oh, well, it's come back around.
People have probably forgotten how to do that.
They probably have.
People don't need to do that. That's my point.
That is going to be Saturday night, along with David Rees, P.F. Tompkins, and tickets are available for just $25 at an 8 o'clock show right there. And then what's this thing you're doing on the 19th? This is the actual Paul F. Tompkins show.
Yes, that is my...
I tease that you have a million guests, and it sounds like I'm exaggerating, but Andy Richter and Amy Mann and Dave Foley and Ben Gibbard from Death Cab and more and more. I mean, what's going on there?
It's a variety show that I've been doing for off and on for about 10 years at Largo, and it's comedy and music, and I do stand-up, there's sketch, and we have a musical guest, a legitimate musical guest that does legitimate music.
You with a banjo?
Yeah, exactly. It's not like I put on my fake beard and my cowboy hat. It's a lot of fun. And May 19th will be the next one, and tickets are still available for that. Guests yet to be determined, but it's always good people.
Do you wing that show, or is there actually material rehearsed for it?
Kind of both. There is material that's rehearsed for it, and the music is rehearsed, and we do have a sketch element that is always written and barely rehearsed. But there is a lot of room for improvisation and spontaneity in the show. We like to have a loose structure of things so we can go off of that.
Gotcha. That's how we do it here, and then we just fail every time. Just every time we get to the end, we go, all right, how do we stop this?
Surely one time it worked out.
Yes, once.
A couple years ago.
Let me ask you this. You have a quarter of a million followers on Twitter. For a second,
I thought you were going to say, you have a quarter of $1 million, and I got really excited.
You were really happy.
Where did that happen?
Just followers, no money involved. What's your relationship like with them, and how has it changed your life as a celebrity that now people can contact you directly?
It's been an interesting journey.
He hates it.
It's definitely a mixed bag because, you know, people will say all kinds of nonsense to you. So,
yeah,
you know, by and large, people are pretty nice. And, you know, people have questions or they just want to say hi or whatever. But, you know, every once in a while, people are jerks. And I think I went through what I think a lot of people went through on Twitter when you first start to use it. If somebody says something rude to you and you respond to it and like, hey, what are you, who right. are you? Why are you talking to me that way? And then I gradually got to a point where I was able to just let go of that. If people say mean things, people say, just scroll, you know, just go past it and go on to the next thing. But it's a hard thing with that because, you know, the place where these people are coming from is I'm going to say something awful to you.
Right.
And I know you're going to see it.
Right. Yeah.
There's no way you didn't see it.
It gives them a voice into your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That, you know, but it has been in a way it's affected my life that it has taught me the value of, you know, what's letting stuff go. And like, and it's a constant reminder of perspective. Okay. I don't need to mix it up with this. With this person whose picture is an egg, I can move on from that.
Person argues with me too.
Yeah,
you don't need to pick fights. You got enough going on in your real life. You don't have to worry about this guy.
I don't need to pick up the gauntlet that has been thrown in front of me. You know, and if somebody just wants attention, the best thing to do is deny them that attention.
You still doing the podcast?
Yeah, I am still doing that. It's a shame that the question is phrased that way from so many people. But yes, I am still doing it.
Whatever happened to that podcast you used to do? How's that? Is that better?
We got Eben Schletter, my producer, and I, you know, because we do the podcast for free, and it's a very involved, technically speaking, podcast. Sometimes life gets in the way, and we can't quite get it out when we like to get it out. And no amount of saying that will dissuade people from saying, when's the podcast coming out again? But we will get back to it very soon.
How about acting? One of the things that's most fascinating about your career is the sort of things that you've done on television and in big movies, too. But it seems like it's sporadic. Is it something that you just do as you squeeze in as you have time, or something that you're just not that enamored of compared to comedy, or what?
Kind of both. I mean, I do enjoy acting, but, you know, I have to audition for things, and, you know, I don't always get the job, you know. But I also... my relationship with acting is very strange, that I'm not like a capital A actor, you know, like the things that I've been in have been quite accidental, you know, either through knowing someone like the Informant, that Matt Damon movie, directed by Steven Soderbergh. That was a rare case of me auditioning for people that I'd never met before, for a big deal thing. And I actually ended up being in the movie. But then again, the special circumstances of that were they were seeing, for all the supporting roles, nothing but comedians and comedy people.
That's how Joel McHale ended up in
it, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, and Patton's in that movie. And, you know, there's a million comedians in that movie. Otherwise, I don't know that I would have been in that film.
Unless it has a sequel, and then you're right back in there.
That's right. The Deformant.
Yes.
Well, I just know once you're in There Will Be Blood, it seems like I can't imagine that acting doesn't get its hooks in you, and you go, oh my God, to be able to be part of something like this, I want to do this forever.
Well,
you know,
but
what I mean?
When is it ever going to happen again? You know what I mean? Like,
it's
that
not,
was,
let's
you
be
know,
honest.
to be in a movie and to have a screen time, brief screen time opposite Daniel Day-Lewis, it's like, do I really want to audition for, you know, this other dumb stuff after that? It's never going to get better than that. And it's also, you know, I'm never going to be a guy like that, like Daniel Day-Lewis. So
right.
You know, again, a perspective, a moment of perspective where it's like, oh, okay, this guy's really an actor.
Right.
You know?
So it's best to just go, hey, I peaked early. I hit that home run in Little League.
Exactly.
I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying out for the majors.
Exactly. Well,
okay.
Like my latest acting job, this show called The L.A. Complex that's going to be on the CW on Tuesday. It's a Canadian show about attractive young people who move from Canada to Los Angeles to make it in show business, and all their dreams are crushed. It's a very dark,
exciting.
Yeah, it's a very dark show. I was kind of surprised because you think it's going to be kind of frothy and glossy, and you know, like it's a sort of Melrose Place or whatever. But like these people, they have some problems.
By the way, every show on the CW involves hot people.
Yes.
Hot girls.
Yes. But
it really does.
But this time, it's not going so well.
Okay. Yes.
And I play one of the, to balance out the attractive young people, I am there playing myself. Because one of the characters wants to get into stand-up comedy. So it's me and Marilyn Ricecub.
I love her.
It was shot at the Improv where this kid does comedy. He's terrible at it. And we are merciless to this kid, just torturing him and telling him to quit and everything. And I think I end up in about three episodes of that show playing myself, like the slightly exaggerated version of myself, slightly meaner than I am in real life.
That sounds like fun.
It was a blast.
Paul F. Tompkins is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have to say goodbye now, but you get to see him for a full hour on Comedy Central. The special is called "Laboring Under Delusions" this Saturday night. And the way they do this now, if I understand correctly, Paul, is they show it on TV, and then a couple days later, you can buy it to download and own usually with a bunch of stuff that they had to cut out for the TV show. And it's a kind of a win-win for your fans, right?
Your research is impeccable. That's exactly what happens. Yes, it is actually available for pre-order on Amazon right now, and it's.
Okay.
It's a much longer, like, you know, for TV with commercials, they do have to cut it down to about 42 minutes. But the DVD is about 90 minutes. So it's
But isn't the 42-minute version, aren't those the funny jokes? Is that how it works?
The rest of the uncut stuff is just me going through my notes.
Exactly.
What else?
Let me see. Page 3.
And then Paul on stage at the Largo Saturday night as well. And then the big Paul F. Tompkins show is going to be Saturday, May 19th. Get all those details at paulftompkins.com. Glad you stopped by, man. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for having me, everybody.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show in about 17 minutes. We're going to give you another chance to win tickets for all 3 days of Coachella this weekend.
In about 17 minutes. Roughly,
yes,
17 minutes.
Roughly. 16, 10.
Okay.
Now.
Plus, Dr. Drew Pinsky makes an appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show just after the top of the hour. Ralph, you are here because you felt we did not give enough time to our Internet Roundup candidate this week of this brand new song that you're just obsessed with.
You gave it enough time. You didn't give it enough hate.
Yeah.
I think that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
There needs to be more hate for it. You kind of glossed over it, and there needs to be more hate spewed at these two bitches who did this song. And Dave, when I first showed it to him, he's like, oh, they're kidding. That's
a joke. I thought so, too.
No. Because the very people who made the video are distancing themselves from the video.
Oh.
On YouTube, they posted, look, we had nothing to do with the musical or lyrical content of this. We did this as a favor to a client of ours. Apparently, these are the daughters and or younger sisters of some client of the production company that did this video.
Well, they can kiss that client goodbye.
Yeah.
And so the guy said, look, these girls want to do this video. You need to do it for them. And they did it. And they were like, okay, we'll do it. But we're not taking any credit for it.
It must have been all the blowback that they got from Fridays.
Yeah.
Well, these aren't the same people, though.
No,
they
aren't.
I'm saying
those people got attacked. The Arc Music Factory got blasted for Friday.
Because they wrote it.
Yeah, exactly.
All that, yeah.
So these guys are definitely letting them know that they didn't write it and they're not responsible for any of the product done by... What's the couple's name with the two girls?
Any
of the work of Double Take is purely their own.
They're in the back of a limo, and they're singing about hot problems.
Look at me and tell me the truth. What do you do when people don't know what we go through? They see my blonde hair, blue eyes in class, but they don't know I have a really big fart. Don't get me wrong. Textbook perfection really takes a lot. Weird guys call my phone and girls call me names, but like Miley said, I can't be tamed.
Here comes the chorus, people.
Hot girls, we have problems too. We're just like you, except we're hot.
Are they also deaf?
Yes, apparently they are.
They're tone deaf for sure.
And you can tell it's not a joke because the lyrics aren't nearly wild enough or out there crazy enough to be funny.
Hot girls were just like you, except that we're hot.
It's the braggadocia of sort of like that rap sort of thing where someone's just bragging about themselves. These two girls, who, by the way, if you watch the video, are not that hot.
Yeah. No, they're not that hot at all.
That's the problem, is by doing this song, they make you take a look at them and judge their looks on a 10 basis.
They're not even as hot as the girl we talked about a couple of weeks ago who wrote the newspaper article complaining about how she got too much attention because she was hot,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, with that singing style, are they just terrible singers?
Yes.
They can't carry a tune?
Yes.
Or are they trying to be cool in
stop giving them credit, people. Stop thinking they're
asking.
Funny and this is a joke, or they're singing like this on purpose. They're just bad.
Doctors, we have problems too. We're just like you. Except we're hot.
Production.
Girls say I'm conceited on
this was a first take, right? They didn't sing this again.
Comments aren't needed.
Look, just because you're pretty, you have to be dumb. That's not the case, but in this case, it happens to be true that you are both pretty and dumb.
They may be smart, but they're not talented. That's all I know.
No. Is this bad enough to sell hundreds of thousands of copies like Rebecca Black did?
I don't think so.
It just came out a few days ago, and when I looked last, they had 500,000 views.
No one would buy this, I don't think,
but she
That's
sold.
What you said about Friday.
Yeah, but they were able to, like, get her on key.
Do the auto-tune, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is pretty naked. The vocals on this are pretty naked.
And then immediately...
And the girls aren't nearly naked enough to warrant this video.
They're too young.
Plus they're 15.
Yeah. I don't know how old they are.
They look 15, 16.
Yeah. They should be in an accident in that limo. That's all I know.
Yeah.
That limo should plow into a petrol tank.
That's how the video should end.
An explosive gasoline tank. Yes,
that's how the video should end.
They should get T-boned in an intersection while they're driving in that limo.
So that's called hot problems.
Hot problems when they're on fire would literally be hot problems.
And you can see the video today by going to krock.com or kevinandbean.com for the internet roundup. It's in there. And then, of course, when there's a popular song, there are always copies.
Progress, we have problems too. We're just like you, except we're hot. The world needs to open their eyes and realize we're not perfect and sometimes we lie.
See, how beautiful is that?
They're
and then there's
already covering it.
I got the look, I got the butt.
I like this.
But those things don't matter or make me a slut. Boys call me stuck up. Girls say I'm conceited on behalf of a hot girls. Those comments aren't needed.
I like his cover.
I'm gonna be proud of two. We're just like you, except we're hot. When these two open their eyes and realize we're not perfect, and me, baby, ain't nothing but magic.
So anyway, there's all that on the.
I think we have Sam and the Armenian Comedians' first return project. I think maybe we need a cover.
Hot problems. That would be fantastic.
Start rumors and say things about me. Funny thing is, I didn't go to that party.
All right, so that's the song. It's called Hot Problems. You can get it at kevinandbean.com.
I wish them nothing but pain.
Got your tickets to all weekend long, 3 days of Coachella. Coming up next, plus access to the K-Rock house as well. You can pass out like Kevin did, and then we can Photoshop you. First, though, wrap us up with the Showbiz Beat.
Showbiz Death Beat. That's what it should be called today.
Yeah!
That's not cheer-worthy. It's sad.
Bean loves death. You know that.
It's so funny. I will demonstrate to you the difference between Bean and myself.
Okay.
I was drawn to and upset by the news that an actor from a cult TV series that geeks like called Dark Shadows died today. Jonathan Frid was his name. He played Barnabas Collins. It was a cult show in the 60s and early 70s. He was the star of the show. Johnny Depp is playing the role in the new movie that's coming out, Dark Shadows, based on the same show. I was attracted to that story.
Out of genuine interest,
mm-hmm. And I did that story.
Right.
Bean sent me the story of the fact that the flute player from Men at Work died.
I'm not sure.
That shows you Bean's level of interest in the world and mine. Bean likes obscure music radio stuff. I like obscure TV movie stuff.
And I don't like either of them.
Right, so you're screwed in the middle.
Right.
Tens of millions of albums.
Right, but it's not the guy who sings...
Extraordinarily successful in the 80s.
It's not honked up eye guy who sings lead for Men at Work.
No, it's not. It's the other guys.
Now that was Midnight Oil you're thinking
of. Oh, yeah.
Honked up Colin eye guy...
right.
was the lead singer. That's yes. sort of newsworthy because they sold so many albums. The flute player from Men at Work, not so much a news story.
I think he co-wrote a lot of the big songs, including
you
Down Under
just
and
making
Who Could
That
It Be
Up.
By. No, I think
that.
He did. No, because I remember from the records, from having the records back in the day, that he was on the songwriting credits.
I know he stole that flute solo from the
right?
Kookaburra Sits in the Old Gum Tree. I know that. He was sued.
About?
He was sued for
what's
the,
happening? I don't
the
understand
flute
any of-
solo from Down Under, this part. The company that owns the children's song, Kookaburra Sits in the Old Gum Tree, sued the band in 2010. And a judge ruled that the band had copied the melody.
Wow.
And that should pay 5% of all its past profits to that company.
So your guy, Bean,
is a cheater
a
and a
liar.
Stealer.
I think that's probably what killed Greg Hamm, I think, is the shame over stealing that melody.
As well as should have.
And so young, too.
I don't
right?
know who any of those people are.
Yeah, he's 50s.
He died 58. Jonathan Frid, Barnabas Collins, was 87, which is a surprise because I thought vampires lived forever, but what do I know?
See?
Yeah. I was in the other room. I told Paul Atomic, I said, Barnabas Collins is dead. He said, the actor or the centuries-old vampire? I said, don't be dumb. Vampires don't die. It's ridiculous. Mel Gibson is crazy.
Yeah, man, what's going on with this guy?
I've been following this story between screenwriter Joe Esterhaus and Mel Gibson. Apparently, they were supposed to work on this film together called The Maccabees. And Warner Brothers said they didn't like the script, so they're not making the film, so they passed on it. This led to sort of a he said versus Mel Gibson and this guy saying who's right and who's wrong, who's to blame here. Joe Esterhaus said, well, Mel Gibson's crazy. He said he didn't want to make a movie because he hates the Jews. I don't know about that, but he said Mel Gibson's crazy. I went to his house in Costa Rica, and he was screaming at the top of his lungs and running around his house and ranting about his ex-girlfriend, how he was going to kill her. And everyone said, well, you know, who do we believe? Well, the tape dropped today.
Yes.
Of Mel Gibson in his Costa Rican home going off on his guests, his house guests and the help, and just generally ranting. And it's about 4 minutes of him just screaming at the top of his lungs about everything that's coming through his mind.
He sounds like a party.
He is. Here he is calling his house guests to dinner.
Who wants to eat? Who the f*** wants to eat? Go have something to eat! Hooray!
Wow.
He is quite the dinner host.
Hasn't he been through all sorts of anger management and everything as a result of the last blow-up with those tapes with his girlfriend?
Yes.
But
this is after the cops and the girlfriend tapes and now this tape. I mean, we're seeing a pattern here.
Yeah, he's crazy.
He's crazy, right?
I don't care.
Who can maintain that level of rage so consistently?
I don't care.
I wonder if there was alcohol involved. I don't know. But
I hope.
That does not sound like a good dinner party.
No.
Who wants salad?
You're like, okay, I'll take salad.
Has everyone had the potatoes? Anyone not get the mashed potatoes? Like, effing, gosh, fucking mashed potatoes. Who wants a roll? I would just sit there. No, I'm good. I'll just sip on my water.
That'd be
Thank
sweet.
You. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tim Curry is 66 years old today. He is Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show. How do you do? I see you've met my faithful handyman. I can do the whole song if you want.
No thanks.
All right. Suge Knight's 47 years old. Ashley Judd turns 44. Jesse James is 43. James Franco is 34. Kate Hudson, 33. A lot of people upset we're not belling Kate Hudson, by the way.
Yeah, I've gotten Kate Hudson complaints and Ashley Judd complaints, by the way.
Well, Ashley Judd should get a bell.
If this were the 90s, yeah.
Her expiration date has come and gone.
What about Kate Hudson? I'd give her a bell.
Kate Hudson, I think she's bell.
I'd give her a bell. On Almost Famous, yes. Since then, no. When was the last time you saw her looking good?
She doesn't look any different to me now than she did 5 years ago.
Not really, no. I don't see
None of us have as strong of feelings as you do, Bean.
Wow.
But he's got the bell. What are you going to do?
She's a disaster. She's a mess.
She's not a disaster.
She's a disaster.
She's very
The guy
attractive.
From Men at Work looks better than her. Right
now. Oh, come on. Kate Hudson. Ding. Hayden Christensen of Stone. This is great, by the way, watching you two in a scene from The Artist. This is my favorite. You guys are in my favorite movie right now. Kevin and Birma are screaming at each other at the top of their lungs with no sound coming out.
Well, we're not trying to not interrupt, but I'm trying.
How can you not interrupt when you're doing this and arms are flailing and people are running around?
Send someone over. I'm going to kill him.
It's The Artist. All right. Waiting for the dog. Waiting for Uggy to come in and start doing tricks.
I don't know that reference. I didn't see the artist.
Yeah, I know you didn't.
You never will.
And Maria Sharapova is 25 years old today. There you go. There's a bell. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Everyone remembers their first pair of Dr. Martens. Where were you when you got your first pair? Did you wear them to see your favorite band? Do you still have them? Or is your first pair of Doc Martens an experience yet to come? First times define us. New experiences shape us. Single moments stay with us forever. Whether it's your first pair or just a new pair, go to drmartens.com to find the perfect shoe that will stay with you forever. Share your first experiences at drmartens.com/firstandforever.
You know that 2:30 feeling? You've hit the wall, but you gotta get stuff done? That's the time to take 5-Hour Energy. You'll get the alert, energized feeling you need to get stuff done. A lot of stuff. 5-Hour Energy. When you gotta get stuff done.
Want to energize your workplace? Then sign up for an energy break. Your workplace will be given plenty of free 5-Hour Energy by friendly, knowledgeable representatives. Go to energybreaknow.com to sign up. It's fast and easy, just like 5-Hour Energy. Do it today.
There are three letters in the alphabet that strike terror in most of us. IRS. If the IRS is coming after you for $10,000 or more in back taxes, call Community Tax Relief now. They may be able to settle your tax debts for less than you owe, remove penalties, and protect you from levies and wage garnishments. Call now for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. 800-340-1040. 800-340-1040. 800-340-1040.
1, 2, 3, the heads start rolling at the Secret Service, treating South America like a whorehouse. Oh, that's not news.
One agent has been fired, another forced to retire. Both of those are supervisors, and a third officer has resigned. 8 agents will stay on administrative leave with their security clearances suspended as this investigation continues.
A former Secret Service official is amazed that these guys got involved with Colombian hookers. The screening process is supposed to eliminate the kids and cowboys, usually. Some of those agents might be right at home as they conduct questioning today. Ted Nugent, a.k.a. Mr. Bluster.
Our government is wiping its ass with the Constitution.
He'll be asked to explain cutting off the heads of the administration. Depends on the price of gas.
Prices may have peaked for the year.
Analyst Phil Flynn. Temps peaking 80 to 90. 62 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the Rock.
Caller 20 now at 800-520-1067. Wins a pair of 3-day passes to weekend 2 of Coachella.
Guess who's going to be joining the band at Coachella 2012?
96.7 KROQ-FM and HD1. Pasadena, Los Angeles. Orange County. Rock of the 80s, HD2. The world famous. K-Rock.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid? Am I just stuck? I went to a shrink to analyze my dreams. She says it's like a sex that's bringing me down. I went to a
it's bringing her down.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Matthew Bott from Costa Mesa, congratulations. You are spending the weekend at Coachella. Your plans have just changed as a result of calling into K-Rock right now. We'll also hook you up with access to the K-Rock Party House as well. We got more chances all day long here on K-Rock at noon, 3, 6, and 9 if you want to go to Coachella. Obviously, you're running out of time because weekend number 2 starts tomorrow. Details at krock.com. Very excited to get Dr. Drew Pinsky back on the show, of course, from the HLN weekday show or weeknight show, depending on what time you're watching. Hey, Drew, how are you, man?
Hello, Drew.
Hello, Dr. Drew.
All right, hold on. I know how to fix it. Dr. Drew, are you there? Nope.
Fix it again.
All right, let me fix it again.
I feel it's going well.
Dr. Drew. All right, Dr. Drew.
I love the technology of this broadcast.
Dr. Drew. Nope.
Calling Dr. Drew.
Call back. We can't hear you. This is going well.
I like it.
We wanted to ask him about the bride diet, where they put a tube down your nose.
I can only imagine what he thinks of that.
I'm sure he loves that.
Call yeah. back.
Someone's calling back. I don't know if it's him. Hello?
Crap.
Nope. This is good. This is going well. We started now, having phone trouble earlier this morning, and then it just started getting worse halfway through.
Getting worse and worse, yeah. Can they, I don't know how this works. They can't take our Marconi Award away for this, right? Once you've won it for
there
shows that you've done
in the past.
People
breaking into our houses right now.
That's what I'm afraid. I'm afraid they're going to take it away if this segment doesn't get off on the air all right.
All right, let's try this one, Dr. Drew. Nope.
Oh,
all right, let's try this, Dr. Drew.
So we just don't have phones that we can use anymore,
that's
basically.
Correct.
That's correct.
Cool. Well, we can't talk to Dr. Drew.
Can't talk to anybody, apparently.
Correct.
Okay.
Dr. Drew, drive on down here. I don't know what else to tell you. All right, should we try it one more time? We'll give it like 30 more seconds.
You want me to hang up on him?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really understand. You know more about the phones than I do. All right, let's have him call one more time.
Okay.
See what happens. So what else you guys got going
on? This has got to be great if you're in your car.
Sorry, peeps.
It's going to be worth it, though, because we got some good stuff for Dr. Drew.
We do. This is going to be a great segment when we get him on the phone.
Oh, we're out of time.
You think we're really going to?
I don't know. I doubt it. I can't figure out what the problem is. Dr.
That's
Drew?
Just...
You there? Dr. Drew? Yeah, we can't take phone calls. We
nope,
literally can't
we're
take
done.
Phone calls.
Isn't that
how
something?
I mean... Oh, there it is. Oh, wait, that was...
That was...
No.
Mugs.
That was Mugs messing with me.
So
I thought it was there.
Crazy. We just had a huge delay earlier in trying to get callers on the air, but now the phones don't work at all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we apologize that you had to hear that.
No, that was good.
That was not our plan at all. We generally do not try to waste your time in that way. We waste your time in other ways, but not that
Well,
time,
we'll
so.
Cut that out before it makes the air.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
It is 9:24. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets at noon, 3, 6, and 9 for Coachella.
Will your little friend Ted Nugent be out at Coachella this weekend, or does he have other things going on, Kevin?
I believe he will be otherwise detained.
Instead of being out at Coachella, he'll be being interviewed by the Secret Service. Now, Ted Nugent, if you don't recognize the name, was a huge rock star in the 70s. Still has a musical career that goes back even further than that, but still has quite a following out on the road. And he has done a bunch of reality TV. He's a super conservative guy. He kills anything that moves, usually with guns or crossbows.
He's a hunter.
And I guess he's very much a hunter, mm-hmm. yeah. And I guess he's in a little bit of a trouble right now because he's always been kind of outspoken about politics, but the Secret Service is wanting to talk to him because he made some things that maybe sounded more like he wasn't using metaphors as much as actual threats against the current administration, and that's why he's in some trouble.
He was at the National Rifle Association giving a speech.
If Barack Obama becomes the president in November again, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year.
Okay, now, hey, how about not talking? How about not talking like
what is that?
It?
Mean, by the way. Like, what's he going to do that's going to make him either dead or in jail?
Being at the NRA event, God bless you, good indicator. But if you can't go home and get everybody in your lives to clean house in this vile, evil, America-hating administration, I don't even know what you're made out of. If you can't galvanize and promote and recruit people to vote for Mitt Romney, we're done. We'll be a suburb of Indonesia next year. Our president and attorney general, our vice president, Hillary Clinton, they're criminals. And if you take that adamant we the people defiance, remember we're Americans because we defied the king. We didn't negotiate and compromise with the king. We defied the emperors. We are patriots. We are Braveheart. We need to ride into that battlefield and chop their heads off in November.
Hey.
Any questions?
Hey, I have a question. I have a question. What about that chopping their heads off? Is that a smart thing to say?
I think 10 makes a lot of sense. I don't know what you're talking about. And we have Mr. Nugent, the Motor City Madman, on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Ted.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys?
Well, we're good. How are you?
Great. Woo! Yeah. Rock and roll and happy turkey season to you.
So, right? I wasn't even aware we were that part of the hunting calendar.
Yeah, turkey season. Love shooting some turkeys.
So we're going to be a suburb of Indonesia the president gets a second term.
Unless we get these criminals, these American-hating criminals out of office.
Isn't it possible to disagree with the other group without...
Absolutely. Absolutely is, and I do disagree with them.
Right, but I'm saying without calling them names and then talking about cutting their heads off.
I'm not calling them names. I'm just telling you the truth. They're criminals, and if you're not aware of it, then you are not a patriot. You're not an American.
I see.
And you have to open your eyes, and we have to go in there in November, and we have to whip the skin off their bones.
Whoa,
have to whip them until they're bleeding and dying in the street.
Why would you say something like that?
Of course, I mean that as a metaphor.
Oh, metaphorically. I see.
Why does the metaphor have to be so violent? Why can't it just be, hey, let's win in the marketplace of ideas and vote against them?
That's what people understand. They take everything I say literally. And actually, what I mean is by voting in November, in the voter's booth, that's what we have to do.
Right.
You know,
okay.
You play that little clip, you think it's funny when I say chop people's heads off.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a poor
but
choice
of words.
Of course,
I mean in the voter's booth. In November.
Oh, is that
in the voters' booth?
Is that what you're going to tell the Secret Service when you meet with them?
Exactly. So when I say I want to plunge a knife into Nancy Pelosi over and over again.
Oh, my God.
Hold on a sec, Ted.
In the voter booth in November.
But you can't. Okay. You can't plunge a knife in anyone's chest at a voter booth.
And I want to take a chainsaw to Hillary Clinton.
Nope.
I mean, in November, in the voting booth.
Oh, in the voting booth.
We don't vote for Secretary of State, though. You know that, right? She's already retired.
Well, we should because they're criminals and coyotes.
They're coyotes.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they were coyotes also, yeah. Hey, Ted Nugent, what is it you mean when you say if the president is reelected that you, Ted Nugent, will be either dead or in jail?
That means... Metaphorically, in the voter booth, I will tase his testicles. I will have to put my taser gun to Barack Obama's testicles.
Well, okay. Again, that's not the type of thing that you're going to say and not get
it's
a visit from the Secret Service. You're going to have to explain that to the government. You want less government in your life. You're inviting the government to your house every time you say something
government.
Like
that's
that.
That's how we became Americans is we went up against the kings and up against the people who were the emperors, okay?
Right.
But you can't say you're going to tase the president's nuts and not have some consequences from that.
All right, I'll just do this. Woo! Metaphorically. I will do that to him. And then I will go to the White House and I will get a lot of dynamite and I will light a giant fuse.
Nope, we're not talking about dynamite at the White House. That's wrong. You don't mean that, Ted.
I'm out of dynamite. I just blew up my own home.
Oh, that's too bad.
Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. And again, we can't remind you enough, today's your last day to win your tickets for Coachella, including with our friend Kat Corbett at noon today. Get details on how it all works at KROQ.com. Good morning, Ralph.
Kat Daddy!
I'm going to talk to Kat Daddy.
This is the guy that wrote the book.
He wrote a book called Kat Daddy.
And his cat taught him everything he needed to know about life.
Taught him about life, love, and how to be happy.
Wow. Does that sound terrible?
Kat Daddy. If we don't talk to him, I just want to be called Kat Daddy from now on. I think it's an awesome nickname.
Time for the Showbiz Beat with Kat Daddy.
Hey, Kat Daddy.
Hey,
Scooby-Bee-Bop. Yeah, I'm hip. Hey, don't be a square. I'm Kat Daddy.
Speaking of names, nicknames, who becomes America's oldest teenager now if Dick Clark is gone? Is that up for grabs now?
Kevin.
Oh, Kevin is now America's oldest teenager. Okay.
Yes, he is.
Dare you, sir.
I don't know. He's America's oldest infant, actually. I don't know who gets the teenager mantle, but yeah. Kevin's been on rare form this week.
How dare you?
I have my daughter's birthday party. I can't go to Coachella this weekend.
that's next week.
Oh, I did not know that. I did not know I had jury duty today.
It's tomorrow.
You told us yesterday you had to call in.
Yeah, I was wrong about that.
I forgot to call in, Chuck.
It's Monday.
It's next week.
Yeah.
It's 2 weeks. It's 4 weeks.
Bean says, I don't remember if it was on the air or off the air, how do you live like this?
Yeah. How do you live like this, where every day is a surprise and a disappointment?
We Dude, all wonder. For me, it's that's how life is. There's no other option.
Let me ask
it's
this.
It's not like I'm saying, hey, I could be sharp. I'm choosing not to.
Let me ask you this. You choose a little bit.
Oh, dare you. Yeah, because the stuff that's important to you, you get right. Let me ask you this.
You didn't forget to go to the Kings game last
that's
night.
That's true. Right, that's exactly. For sure. Although Kevin has driven to Staples Center to find out that the team he went to see was on the road. That has happened. Yeah.
That did happen.
Would you guys want Kevin on your jury?
No.
How dare you, no. Ralph?
Wait a minute. Maybe. Because there's a lot of stuff Kevin would do that it's illegal that he wouldn't really see a problem with if you did it.
So you'd have a hung jury, or you'd have a mistrial.
Somebody on your side?
Yeah, he would definitely be on my side if I committed some crime. Because he'd be like, I would probably do that if I had the chance. That's how he'd feel about most crimes. So I think if I was guilty, I would want him on
no,
my
side. No, but he'd
crime.
Screw up and they'd have to redo the trial.
I thought guilty meant not guilty vote.
How dare you. Is there showbiz?
There cat is daddy. Some showbiz.
Hey, Cat Daddy.
Mel Gibson's not a Cat Daddy. He is a he's an upset fella.
Yeah, man.
Great piece of tape we've been playing all day from screenwriter Joe Esterhaus, who spent some time with Mel in his home in Costa Rica in December. They've been working on this movie together, The Maccabees. And Mel was not pleased with the script that Esterhaus turned in from the first draft of the film. And Esterhaus wrote this letter that became public saying you're insane, you've been screaming about your ex-girlfriend, you were screaming at me, and you were screaming at your other house guests. And Mel wrote a letter saying that just never happened. Well, Esterhaus released the tape, and now we have it's hard to make out. The whole thing's available to listen to at therap.com. I think maybe TMZ also has a little piece of it.
Yeah, they transcribed it too, so you can see what he's saying.
Here's my favorite part, where Mel Gibson is calling his dinner guests today.
Hooray!
Wow, he crazy.
Yeah, just full throated screaming the whole time for about 4 minutes. You can hear him just walk, slamming Dude. Doors and running around his
it's
compound. And just,
difficult to tell what he's saying. So those,
yeah, there are some parts, but they do transcribe as
Kevin. It's mentioned. All yelling.
Yeah.
If there were some sort of an electronic device that enabled you to talk to a person in a separate location that we had at the radio station, mm-hmm. we were going to ask Dr. Drew, what's going on in a guy's head like that if he screams all the time about everything? Like, is he mentally insane? What's happening?
Well, he doesn't scream like that all the time. He went off on something and then just stayed at that level of rage for at least 3 or 4 minutes, we know for sure.
Wow.
But, yeah. Patton Oswalt tweeted, he's a lot scarier screaming about dinner than he is about the Jews or blacks or anything else that he screamed about. It's really disturbing to hear him go off like that. And it is. When someone's screaming about something as innocuous as it's time to eat, right. that is disturbing. Because that is a sign of somebody who's really unhinged.
Everybody's in his house like, yes, yes, fine.
Yeah. Who played that?
Don't I did.
Oh, I didn't hear
Try it.
Try
it again. Take two.
You offend me.
There you go.
There we go.
Sorry, I stepped on that.
That's okay.
Back to another Cat Daddy.
Another day, another bad dating show. Remember I told you about Take Me Out, which was like a speed dating reality show?
Oh, yeah.
Where women would, filter out the guys they didn't like, and then the guy would go back and filter the women until they got down to one couple. We said, that sounds horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where it gets good. George Lopez has just been selected to host.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's good news. There's another show. Dating show, reality show, Eva Longoria is producing, called Ready for Love, where three guys will be handpicked by Eva Longoria.
Really?
Then they'll find dates with a new Facebook app and help from Eva's own personal matchmaker.
What?
Hosted by Juliana and Bill Rancic. Everything about that is horrible.
Everything you said was bad.
That's going to be on NBC. That's going to be on a network.
No, it isn't.
That's going to be carried by a network.
Cat Daddy is a liar.
I'll tell you something. Dick Clark died just in time. He doesn't have to see either of those two shows. He passed away this week, yesterday, 82 years old. He's getting an outpatient procedure. I didn't read this, but Bean read that you said it was cataracts, Bean? Is that what you said?
Well, the hospital hasn't confirmed this yet, but friends close to him said he was going into the hospital to have cataract surgery. And yeah. We don't know yet whether the surgery was even performed or if that was somehow related to what happened to him.
This story says the heart attack came after an outpatient procedure, so he did have something wow. done. And then
but he could see real good as he died.
Oh, wow.
I'm saying there's an upside. I'm saying sometimes it's nice to look on the positive side of things.
Too soon?
And remember how we laughed and said, oh, no one in Glendale would ever take Kim Kardashian seriously in becoming a member of,
yes,
their governing body.
You're not going to contradict that now.
We said, just because a lot of our meetings live here doesn't mean for a second, no one with a half a brain would entertain the notion of having her involved with local government in Glendale, California.
Right.
We laughed. We chortled. We mocked. We pointed fingers.
And we were right.
Not so much. Several prominent Armenians in Glendale have come forward asking porn star Kim Kardashian, to get involved in their local government. Former mayor and current city councilman Ara Najarian offered to make Kim his chief of staff to teach her the local politics of Glendale. Artin Sarkisian, a prominent Glendale realtor, has offered to help Kim find a home in Glendale.
No, that's not true.
They just want to be on camera. They just want to be on her show.
That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
The councilman says he would like to get her to run for city council, and then she will be eligible to become mayor because members of the city council rotate into the position of mayor. And we know Kim's good at rotating. We've seen the video. Yeah.
That's true.
She's got that going for her.
Do they understand
that
Kim has never held a job, though?
Listen, she is creative. She's a writer. She's a producer. She's a designer.
A designer, yeah.
She has had many jobs, Bean. I resent that. I resent that. Listen, you'd be better off getting a real porn star in government in Glendale. At least she would serve a purpose for everyone on the city council. At least you could get something out of it. You're not going to get anything out of Kim Kardashian being on.
Maybe they're looking at that. Maybe they're just saying, we need someone hot in here.
Well, if there's some black members on the city council, maybe then. But other than that, you're all getting nothing. Zip. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Tim Curry, probably still best known for playing Frankenfurter in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, 66 years old. Suge Knight, 47 years old. Ashley Judd turns 44. TV personality Jesse James. He builds a lot of motorcycles.
He does.
43 years old. James Franco, 34. Kate Hudson, 33 years old. Ding! Hayden Christensen from Star Wars Episodes 2 and 3. They're not the good ones. Is 31. And Maria Sharapova celebrates her 25th birthday.
She is the good one.
She is a healthy, healthy young lady. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. Would you like to take that back?
Yes.
We have like 20 of them. I don't know why, but we've just been piling them up lately.
Cat Daddy won't take anything back.
Is that right?
That much. I might, but
what about Ralph?
Cat Daddy won't.
Ziggy Marley on the program tomorrow from Fringe, John Noble. We have comedian Patton Oswalt.
Wow.
We have Movie Beat because it's Friday, and we are going to tell you about the best service ever in Vegas. It's called Hangover Heaven. And this is a way of getting over a hangover that you will not believe.
I don't care how good it is. It's not the best service I've ever had in Vegas. I'll tell you that.